From the Middle is proud to be a founding member of the Odd Pods Media Network. Hey, everybody, and thanks for tuning in to episode number 137 of From the Middle. We are a comedy, culture, entertainment, and interview style podcast hosted by three middle-class guys living in the middle of America in the middle chapters of our lives with a point of view that is somewhere in the middle. We are so nice on this podcast and never do anything mean or even semi-questionable, but we start this one off by talking about some celebrities we think are ugly, or are they? We get our first real snowfalls here in Central Ohio, so Dylan ate inside of an igloo, where we're pretty sure he got a swollen eye from some fig schmear. We talk about working out, being grammar police, talk a little bit about some things that we're doing in the gaming world, and always end with some of our favorite streaming stuff from the week. Look forward to the conversation in this one, because it's awesome. Play that intro music.
Oh, for the love.
Sorry, just clearing my Mountain Dew hole.
I got my phone hole clean today.
That's where you keep it?
You're so cerebral, and you're so developed and evolved.
So Dylan and I's mom used to say often, I think it was more of a joke, but probably a little bit serious or to keep us humble. Hey, whatever you make fun of, God's going to give you that thing. So she used to make fun of is a really harsh way of saying it. She used to observe that one of her relatives had a wheeze. Mm-hmm. And she thought as a kid that that was so funny, such a funny way to laugh. With a wheeze, and now my mom weaves when laughing. And so it was last week or the podcast before, I had my new glasses on and I glance at myself in the Zoom call and I'm like, I'm looking more and more like Brian Posehn, who for a long time I've thought, that's an unfortunate looking man. Do you know Brian Posehn?
I'll share my screen.
So here's okay. I pulled up a few shots ahead of time, but like with the right
that guy
with the right angle, with the broken nose, deviated septum or whatever, a more prominent nose, and with my new glasses on, I'm looking a lot like Brian.
There's some similarities there. I mean, slap a beard of those glasses on anybody and they're gonna start. I mean,
that's true. Which
I'm there too, right?
Right. And there's not one of us out of this three that is a picture of the definition of beauty, but it got me thinking about like celebrities that are a little more, I don't know, some might say are a little more unique looking. Can you think of a couple off the top of your head? I've got a couple that I thought of that their not normalness almost becomes their brand and it actually is very cool on them. So for example, Steve Buscemi, right? Like he's a character actor who you wouldn't say, wow, that is what I think of when I think of handsome, but it has very much become his thing. And you love Steve Buscemi in the roles that he plays, his buggy eyes and right. Mm-hmm. This is maybe something that I do as a caricature artist. Are there others you can think of? It's a weird spot to put you guys on the hot seat like that, but like unfortunate looking celebrities who own their unfortunate lookingness.
Well, I was thinking of Jack Black has a very unique look. There's some of those, usually a similar game people will play is, if this person wasn't a celebrity, would they be considered good looking, right?
Gotcha.
Yeah, because you're people on the board. So I think of like, I don't think Benedict Cumberbatch is an ugly guy, but I don't know that he would be like sexiest man alive material if not for him being a celebrity. He's you know, and with Jack Black is a good example, like totally depending on how his hair looks, how his beard looks. Because if you Google him, like there's some shots where he's like, he's got his hair slicked back and his beard trimmed in one of those pictures, and he looks great. And then in others, he has a little bit more of a disheveled look. Yeah. He's that particular picture for those listening. Jack Black looks kind of like a pug. And so as an example. And so I think, but he totally owns that look for him. And he does his weird videos in his backyard, and he always has his shirt off. And and he just makes it work, and you know, and that's just his look, and it's fine.
Yeah. I feel like there's a lot of movies and TV shows that I've watched where I've had that thought before that, like, oh yeah, this is the thing that you do because of your facial features or whatever. But I struggle to remember actors and their names and things like that. For some reason, Chris Kattan comes to mind. He strikes me as someone who I don't know that I've ever seen him do anything serious. And I'm not saying it hasn't happened. I wouldn't know, but
Chris Kattan's a good one. While you were talking, for those just listening, I looked up Willem Dafoe. He's got that super creepy grin, which serves him well in the Spider-Man franchise. But I recently saw on Instagram some clips of Willem Dafoe in his early acting career. And this is like college. And he was like devilishly handsome.
Really?
Yeah. Like that, like strong jaw and just really defined facial features, kind of a chiseled look. Here it is kind of on the right. There was another shot of him though. Oh, this scene. He's acting in college at University of Wisconsin, Milwaukee. And I was like, dude, the head, full head of hair. And
yeah,
I get it.
Super.
I think Rainn Wilson is another one.
Good.
Yeah.
You know, I think he has a very unique look. Nobody else looks quite like Rainn Wilson. And I think he even talks about it in the show, like his features that are off, and he makes fun of it as Dwight. But like
his nose is way too small for his face.
Yeah. When he shaves, he's got a little bit of the double chin, like some people do. I don't know anybody but myself who does, but he kind of leans into that as Dwight, I think, which is funny. Rainn Wilson is definitely one.
Here's one for me. Tilda Swinton. We've not done any females yet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But see, like, again, this look serves her so well in the roles that she plays. And like, you're like, well, that's why they're casting her, because of her unique look. But that is a very interesting combination of features, I will say.
Yeah.
It's such a weird way to start the podcast, but I was like, man, I am looking so much more like him. It's not even,
well, now I feel like it just came out swinging towards men, and I feel like I need to pick a woman.
Here's another one, and this kind of bleeds into the category of ugly hot. So like, sometimes you look at an actress or actor and go, are they attractive or kind of homely? And Adam Driver falls into that category for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Kylo Ren, girls are like, they either think he's homely looking, or they're like, oh, I am here for it.
Yeah, I could see that. This could be a whole like hour long episode.
I know. And I'm putting this on you on the spot. Like, if you really thought about it. Probably
good, because I do feel like there's hundreds of them. And if you would have given us time to prepare, like, we would have filled two episodes with
it. I think so too. So maybe we come back to this one and we put it out to the listeners. Are there people that you think are celebrities that you think are a little more, you know,
a unique look
people that I'm really interested in the ugly hot one, because there's been a couple people that I think of that I'm like, depending on the lighting and the angle, you are either very attractive or very not so much.
Yeah.
And I feel like they need to be decently popular too, because it would be easy to pick a TV show where they have the intentionally ugly character that's played by an actor or actress that they try to dress down. I think it needs to be somebody who like consistently is probably an A-list person that does a lot of different roles. That's not just, you know, nerded up for a role or whatever. I mean, speaking of Big Bang Theory, the Sheldon Cooper actor, is another, he has a very distinctive, unique look, that plays great for that show. And even when you watch him in other stuff, you still sort of see Sheldon. Not that he's not a great actor. Jim Parsons. Not that he doesn't play like another interesting character, but he certainly has a unique look. That's really funny. I picked on all guys. So sorry, female actors.
Well, that's the safe bet.
That is a safe bet. And it's all that comes to my mind. Louis Anderson.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, and he's so great in Baskets.
Oh, so good in Baskets.
Gilbert Gottfried.
Yeah, good one.
There's
there are probably articles out there by like BuzzFeed or something where you can look
probably up. I'm the guy who doesn't remember people, and and here I am coming up with them.
Well, anyway, I thought that was a fun way to start. How you guys doing? What's new in your proverbial worlds?
Yeah, doing good. So I have to give a shout out to a company for something that my company did. So because of the seasonality of my work, we're pretty busy until January, excuse me. So end of year, early January is pretty busy. So we had a virtual holiday party, and we had two options for what we wanted to do for the virtual holiday party. You could do like a mailed kit for like mixology or for making charcuterie boards. Charcuteries for doing that, cheese and whatever boards.
Lunchables.
Adult Lunchables.
I was gonna make the same joke, Kendall. We're becoming a hive mind. I love it.
And so I thought it would be really fun. I'd be able to do the charcuterie board. And so we did that, and it was, so they send you a box with everything you need. Obviously, my company paid for this, but I want to shout out the company because they did put together a really nice thing. It's Peck Boards. Maybe don't Google that, like Peck. Just go peckboards.com. It's a female, all-female owned Austin, Texas company, but they sent us this huge kit. It had like the board in it and all kinds of like cheeses. And it was not about crackers. It was like all different kinds of foods. I have a picture of our board that we finished. And so there was a virtual thing on the back end of it where they're like talking you through how to make really nice boards for parties. And it's not always just about like get a couple cheddars and some crackers, like, right? Like how to make them look nice and good combinations. And so we had a ton of fun doing that. That was last week, and we hopped on the thing and we learned a lot, and I have a picture and I'll share it on social media. And so a really cool option. And so I just thought if anybody for their company or anybody personally wanted to do it, it's really neat. Good idea. It was a fun way to kind of celebrate with everybody virtually from our company. Unrelated, woke up the next morning with a puffy eye. Probably not from what was on the charcuterie board. So don't worry about that. But I did have a little bit of a hitch thing going.
What?
The next morning, like inside my eye was really puffy. And I thought, well, maybe something got in my eye, or maybe I slept on it, or something like that. So that was funny. Have you guys taken Benadryl as an adult, like any time recently?
No,
not recently. No.
So we had children's Benadryl, and I thought, well, this is just weaker. So I can, it's like a lower dose, so I can just take some of this. And so I'm looking at the servings, and, it's like the 6 to 11 year old is where it maxes. So I'm like, well, I'm an adult man, so I can certainly take more than the 6 to 11 year old.
Okay.
And I'm like, I don't want my eye to get worse. Like, I want to kind of wait and see what happens. But if it's the Benadryl helps, then it, maybe it was an allergic reaction to something I had ate unrelated to Peck Boards, which was awesome, by the way. And so I was looking at the thing and I saw like 6 to 11, 10 milliliters. And I thought, okay, I'll do a little more than 10 milliliters. So I pour in the cup and I drink it, you know, when I wake up, and then I go have my coffee and breakfast like normal. Man, that stuff just, half an hour later, I'm like ready to go back to bed. And I had slept the full night. And I'm realizing that I realized much, much later in the day after I slept most of it. The 6 to 11 said 5 to 10 milliliters. And I think I did 20. And so I was just like, if you've seen Father of the Bride, it's like, you know, Tuvasnik is like, bye bye, George. See you next Thursday. Because that's exactly what happened. Like I was awake long enough to have my coffee and breakfast. And I was like, I am really, you know, when you're so tired at night driving that you're like, this is getting dangerous. I need to pull over, figure yeah. something out. Unable to control your eyelids kind of thing. It was that. So I think I slept from like 10:30 to lunch, and Bree had Jimmy John's delivered. So like I woke up long enough to go eat a sub, immediately back to bed until like 4 or 5. And just wow. like out most of the day. It was wild. So,
well for two questions, were you yeah, able sure. to deduce what the heck happened? Like what?
No,
you had
no,
a reaction it was fun. To?
I don't know. I think everything on the board, the charcuterie board I had probably had before or something similar. Except maybe this little fig spread that they had. And I thought, I don't know if I've ever had figs before. So maybe it was that, or something else that I just couldn't think of that I had not, I'm not officially allergic to anything. So I don't know. Right. I don't know what it would have been. Maybe I just slept weird on my eye and, you know, like I pushed my hand up in it or got something up in it and it made it all puffy. But man, if you've seen the movie Hitch, it's kind of what it was starting to look like. It was.
And the second question, why don't you take photos of that? We want to see that photo, no kidding, not the yeah. pegboard photo.
Start thinking of the podcast, man.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I could have taken a video of me like dozing off with my eye puffy, like while we're.
Guys, does this look normal to you?
Yeah.
I love how quickly we are to just go, I must have slept wrong.
Yeah. Any person with a remotely medical background is like, that doesn't happen. And I'm here. I slept wrong.
Oh, man.
So anyways, I got tons of sleep that day, which was great. And still went to bed that night normal and then woke up the next day and everything was fine. And so whatever it was gone. And yeah, I'm still alive. So that's good.
I'm glad you're all right.
Yeah.
You should like right here, like while we're recording, like have you just like go get all of the different things that were on that board and like go lick the board and see if that does it.
We still have some things left. I can try to eat some and see if I can recreate it.
I was going to say, just go get the fig spread and just put it in your eye like a face lotion and just see what happens.
See, any normal person would have eaten that and all those things and already known what they were allergic to. So they would have had an excellent experience like me without a little bit of puffy eye. I just, maybe I'm allergic to fig spread and didn't know, but it was legitimately a great experience. And I think people should do it. Maybe right. just know if you're allergic to fig spread.
Yeah. You don't want to get fig eye.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's one of the things going on with me. How about you guys?
Well, speaking of swelling, I worked out this morning for the first time in a while.
So now you're
swole.
Yeah.
So if I look swole, it's cause I am. So our friend James Taylor, who's been on the cast before, talked about Dungeons and Dragons. I'm starting a thing where I'm going to the gym with him, a couple times a week, and today was the first day. Now he's very familiar with the gym, myself not so much, and so I was just kind of following his lead. He has this plan and I just did exactly what it is he does, but about like 5 pounds lighter than what he's doing, and my shoulders and stuff, and there's muscles that I didn't even know I had that are hurting right now. So that's going on here. There was more to that story. I didn't want to just point out that I worked out, but I forget what it was now. I forgot my train of thought.
So today was day one.
You said today was day one at 5:30 in the morning.
And you're already sore?
I'm there. I'm already sore.
Uh-oh. Yeah. Tomorrow's going to suck for you.
Tomorrow is going to suck.
I always found
it'll be fine.
Yeah. Sorry, Don. I'll cut you off.
No, I was just going to say a little kid's Benadryl tonight will help. I recommend 20 to 30 milliliters. And I thought you were going to do the Midwestern, like, well, I was out shoveling for an hour. I got my cardio in for the week. I thought you were going to do that, like the Midwest dad thing.
Well, we did that too. We got a bunch of snow here in Central Ohio. When I say a bunch of snow, really what I mean is our first like substantial snowfall.
Right.
Of the winter. So people out shoveling driveways and whatnot, and had to get the snowblower up and cooking, which is always a fun experience. If anybody knows those small gasoline engines that only get used but a handful of times a year, and you go to start them up for the first time of the season and it never goes right. So.
And you're curious as to why. How do you snowblow your driveway because of the pretty drastic incline?
Mm-hmm. I don't go side to side because it'll veer downhill on me.
Yeah.
So I have to go up and down. And when I'm going down, I have to actually lift up on the handle to keep the blade of the snowblower contacting the surface.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it'll want to like scoop out from underneath. Yeah. So I have to hold it up and then follow it down, walk it down. The way up is on the way up. It's real easy as I'm punching microphones and things.
Well, like I have a very modest grade to my driveway. And this snow, because we shoveled it right away. The kids and I shoveled it right away. Actually, I said, if you want to play outside in the snow, you have to help me shovel the driveway first.
Yeah.
And right after we shoveled it, you couldn't really get that like bottom most layer of the snow. And it was so cold that normally that melts off with some sun. There was no sun yesterday. So that like filmy layer of snow turned to ice. And even on my very small incline, I'm like, how does Kendall... Because yours is legit. Like, I'm even afraid to park on it sometimes. And there's e-brakes and things. But, like, if you get even just a bit of ice on that, how do you... Or do you just have tons of salt ready to go?
I salt heavily as well. So, that's a thing. Like, I can't get away with not doing it because then I can't use my driveway.
Yeah.
So I have to snow blow it and then I have to salt it right afterward to get rid of that last layer and also to dry it out.
Yeah.
Cause I won't be able to make it up the driveway. Back when I had the truck, I think I told this story before. I did actually like, it slid down. I parked my truck, set the parking brake. I always give it the old, body weight jerking back motion before I get out to make sure everything's okay. And it was fine. I go in and it's late at night. I go in, I like fix something to drink or whatever. Like 10 minutes later, I look out the window because I'm paranoid. This is the kind of thing that I check doors all the time and whatnot. I also always used to check my truck when it was parked out in the driveway, thinking, I know I'm crazy. No one else does this. But this one time, I look out the front window and my truck is like half in the street. And the mailbox has been knocked over. So it happened.
Once. Yeah, it's scary. What frustrates me about that first snowfall or any snowfall for that matter, that first person that has to leave right after the snowfall, if you don't shovel right away, those tracks become like permanently like an ice chute of the driveway. So you like want to get that first layer before people pack down the snow.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Midwest, folks.
But you know what, Nashville? people went to work.
People went to work. Businesses were open. You could get coffee.
I went to Field and Stream shopping that morning with the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I've already suggested that we try Stormtrooper winter costumes with flamethrowers for the driveway. So
yes.
I really feel like that needs to be a thing and would be quite a bit faster. So just putting that out there.
You guys know I've grown to really enjoy Rick. Oh my gosh, I'm blanking on his name right now. Fowler. Fowler's Makery and Mischief is the YouTube channel. It's not Ricky Fowler. That's the golfer. Anyway, he was the one. Yeah. He was the one that survived the longest on the History Channel series alone. Mm-hmm. And he just did a 5-day challenge up in Vermont where they camp and fish for 5 days straight and do ice fishing. And he found this like bank of the lake with a little overhang with icicles hanging down from it. And they tucked themselves up under there and had like fires going on the ice. And then they'd go out each day and ice fish and come back to their little cave and have dinner, cook up what they had. I'm like, man, that looks fun.
Yeah, that's a scary thing, man. I've like looked into ice fishing because of all the questions of, because I know that people go out with their ice huts and things and they heat them with propane. I'm thinking, well, isn't that gonna? But apparently, it's a problem. Apparently, it's okay. Like. And I've seen people like build fires on ice and it's all right, I guess.
Yeah, you'd think, oh, you're gonna wake up and you're gonna be in the lake.
Yeah.
Zachary Fowler. Well, man, why was I struggling with that?
I mean, I'll tell you my most recent experience with an igloo or something like that was at a Columbus brewery where they had the plastic ones where you could eat pizza inside and it had lights and a space heater. It was great. We did some curling while we were there. They used their little mini kegs, like the curling discs.
Nice.
Yeah. And yeah, a ton of fun. My daughter called them giant batteries. She said we slid the big batteries. Yeah. And I thought, I almost corrected her. I thought, no, that's better. That's better than kegs.
You then have to explain to her what a keg is.
Yeah, yeah. So
there's time for that.
We invited ourselves into somebody else's igloo that they were renting, not people we knew like before we got there. And we went and joined them and had pizza and ate in a little space heater igloo. And it was a lot of fun. I think these had just started to pop up before COVID, but it's been so long now. Had you seen these little like restaurant igloos out in the winter? You know, before COVID, do you remember, or is this really COVID and I'm misremembering?
I know what you're talking about. And those structures I was aware of, but I'd never associated them with restaurants until COVID.
Mm.
I feel like I'm pretty sure I remember malls with a lot of restaurants, just having like tried that before COVID in the winter. Okay. To get people to like, hey, you can come dine. And instead of worrying about huge areas with big space heaters, they started to test these little igloos that you could do mm-hmm. that would keep much more warm. But that could have started like the first winter of COVID as like a thing that they thought of and they started buying them. It's a ton of fun. It had a bunch of like outdoor furniture in it with like cushions and a table in the middle. And it was great. We had a great time.
Wow. There's a restaurant on the square in the next town over that has a bunch of those out on their patio area. And I always thought it looked so cool. They're lit up at night with like those Edison bulbs. And
yeah, that's really exactly cool. What it was.
Yeah.
The little curling area. Yeah, it was for the Columbus folks. It was Land Grant Brewing Company in downtown Columbus near Kosci. And they had the Edison bulbs across like the curling thing and a bunch of the outdoor stuff still had Christmas lights on it. And yeah, we just got pizza and soda and went into the igloo and then did the curling and rented that and played that. And it was a ton of fun.
That's really nice. Yeah.
Yeah. Check that
out. Seems fun.
A little bit of nature for you.
Love it.
There you go. Dylan did some outside stuff.
I did some outside stuff. Yeah.
Sort of.
Little nature. Little igloo. I mean, I had pizza and cookies. You tell me.
Why not?
Well, this seems like a great time to take a break and hear a word from one of our friends in the Odd Pods Media Network.
Hey, I'm Lauren.
And I'm John.
And we host the Beard Owl Podcast, the podcast where we talk about two of the greatest things in the world, beer and Beard Owl.
And a lot of other things. We're funny.
Yeah, that's basically what I told him to say. Good job with your
script. I listened.
Yay! But no, seriously, we try and pair a beer with a Weird Al song and talk about both things and go where the conversation takes us. It's fun, I promise. You'll like it.
Yeah, I mean, if you like talking about random things as well as, you know, fine craft beers and some wonderful craft music.
Craft music, I love it. So,
but not craft singles. So far, this promo is going about as smoothly as one of our episodes.
Absolutely. If this has enticed you in any way, please go to beardoutpodcast.com.
http://www.beardalpodcast.com www.beardalpodcast.com. I repeat, http, if you want it to be, if you want it to be secure, https://www.beardalpodcast.com.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, just a really quick plug for one of our midbits. We had mentioned that one of the things I got from my family for Christmas was the massive Lego Millennium Falcon set. And I just wanted to thank Kendall because he took 14 time-lapse videos that I had on my phone and put them all together in a really nice video with some awesome music by Samson111, who wrote a song inspired by Star Wars that goes over top of the time lapse. It's about 8 minutes long. Definitely go check that out. Thanks to Samson once again for the music. Used to be sort of our old intro music, his track Movement. And yeah, it turned out really good. So Kendall, thanks for doing that, man.
Hey, no problem. Thank you for putting together some Lego.
Oh, no problem.
And remembering to put a camera in front of yourself when you do it.
Yes.
We're the worst YouTubers in the world.
Yeah.
The amount of times we've had discussions where we tell each other, yeah, if only I would have gotten my phone out. Just don't think about it. You know, I woke up with a swollen eyeball. Of course I should have filmed that.
I should have made a vlog.
Yeah, yeah. Goodness.
Speaking of which, I feel like we often put our good friends at Artius Man at the end of the episode. And I feel like this is a great opportunity while we're plugging Samson and the YouTube channel to give a nod to our friends over at Artius Man. That's ArtiusMan.com. Make fantastic men's grooming products, stuff for like bath time, shower time, candles, all kinds of great products. So head to ArtiusMan.com, use promo code THEMIDDLE. You can save 25% off your first order and get some really great stuff. I got the Citrus Cedar body set, and I've never felt more manly in my life.
Awesome.
So make sure to snag yourself some goodies. I know, guys, you guys can actually grow beards. You've used some of the beard oils and some of the other products. So tons of really great stuff made in the USA, shipped out of Ohio. Definitely go load up your cart and check it out. And they make awesome stuff. So
do you want a beautiful, full and rich beard like Brian Posehn? Then go over to ArtiusMan.com. I have to say something nice. Seriously, Brian's a really cool guy and a comic book geek. And he's like a big, huge self-proclaimed nerd and metalhead. So I love Brian Posehn. I'm just saying.
Of course he is. Look at him.
Kendall okay. just said the meanest thing that's ever been said on this podcast in 137 episodes.
More here, in case you needed another reason to confirm I'm the worst human being. So my wife has been using a word incorrectly, rather pronouncing it incorrectly lately. And I thought, you know what? Nobody loves the grammar police or for somebody to be a grammar Nazi, but you know, maybe within the confines of a healthy, trusting marriage, there might be a safe way to bring this up in conversation. So I
maybe.
So I approached her the other day and I go, hey, babe, she loves Friends. And I said, you know how in Friends, Ross is like a real big jerk and always correcting people's grammar and stuff and how annoying that is and how people don't like it. Yeah. Why? What did I say? And I go, oh, no, I'm just saying, like, if there, like, were something that you were saying incorrectly, how might you want informed of that? Like, would you, she's like, what did I say? Just tell me what I said. Don't go through this whole thing. And I'm like, you've been saying chivalrous lately. instead of chivalrous. And I just, you know, I don't want you to be out in public or like mention that during a dinner party and be embarrassed. And so I just thought you might want to know there's no T at the end of chivalrous. And she's like, the answer to your question is never. And there is no way. Never does a person want to know that. No one's going to care or notice it. And the answer is never. There's never a way to correct someone's grammar or pronunciation on anything ever. And I don't care. And I was like, okay.
Wow. Yikes.
Oh, so
I feel like that needs to be a poll. And I'm going to take to Twitter on that one.
Yes.
Yes.
And I would you want your incorrect grammar pointed out? Let me be really specific because I want to get this right. Is this in conversation only? We're not talking about text. I don't think most people care about text.
Yeah, it's in conversation.
Would you want your conversational grammar corrected so you can be better informed for the next time? Is that essentially it?
I think that's one question. Another question to ask would be to raise a point, or to talk about a point that she raised, which is, do people actually care or notice? Because I think people do care and notice. They're just being polite when they don't say anything. But they're thinking things. That's what I think.
Yeah. I think most people's ears perk up and go, that sounds weird, or I'm noticing something different about either how you said, like I used proverbial incorrectly earlier. But like, I think they go, that sound out of place. But if you say it with enough confidence or move past it enough, I think most people will go, maybe it's just me.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it was really chivalrous of you to bring it up. So
that's what I was saying.
Yeah.
I'm doing it for your, to prevent your potential future embarrassment. I'm doing you a service. Isn't it so nice of me? And to do it so thoughtfully.
Yeah. For all intensive purposes.
That was me.
That was corrected in the early times of my relationship with my wife about intensive purposes. So there you go. And I do correct a lot of people over things.
This is really good discussion. And I think we do need the poll, but I also want comments down below or on the posts or on our Facebook group From the Middle for the Middlers. I think this will lead to really good conversation because it really is like, do people notice? How would you want corrected? And then how would you want corrected? Which is hard to do in a poll because that's more open-ended. But I would be really interested, like, hey, pull me aside privately. It's the same as like, do I have bad breath or is there something in my teeth?
Yeah. And you also get into like, potentially correcting slang, which people know is wrong, but they don't care, or things that people say that are wrong. They might not realize are wrong, but it's like, it's somewhere between an intentional slang and actually saying a word wrong. Like, I don't know if we've talked about this on the podcast before. I think we have. But I find myself a kind of Midwest thing that I hear around, and I find myself doing it, is we've shortened probably to prolly and then pry. And so you can say like, yeah, you could probably even drive over, you know, to the pizza place and just grab pizza for dinner. And like, is that something that should be corrected? Because that's kind of slang, but I don't even think people know that.
No.
That's not like me making an intentional slang choice, like saying that's dope, which is not like the best way to say that, but I can still say it. So you get into all this nuance, like depending on what somebody's saying, do you correct that? Do you correct pry? We can use that one as an example. Would you correct that? Or would you just that little Midwestern?
That's a different category.
Yeah. To me, pry is about laziness and just shortening and not caring, not like intentional laziness, just like I'm not going probably. Whereas what I was describing is like a whole extra letter and a different word entirely.
Right. That's what I mean.
It's like there's
different. Okay.
It's like there's a mistake there, which is fine. But there's a mistake there. It's you think that it's this and it's not.
Okay.
And for some reason that bothers me.
Right. But some people might not know that I know that I say pry and might think that I'm saying a word.
But I don't think people think that you actually think that that's the word, right?
And I want everyone listening from the Midwest to take a moment and stop and listen to yourself as you say pry next time, as a shortened version of probably, as a shortened version of probably. And I want you to just take that moment and go, I did just do that. And that's a thing that I say.
That's so funny. Pivoting to words on a page or on the internet, a friend of mine posted something that I thought was hilarious. I think it was yesterday. And it's a tweet that says, "Dear friends older than 7, you don't have to put 2 spaces after the period anymore. That was for the typewriter era. You're free." And her post was, "Is this true?" And other people were like, "Yeah, it's true."
Yeah, that's super interesting to me, because I had always been a double space person. And because I was taught that, right? I wasn't taught during the typewriter era, but I was still taught to put 2 spaces after a period. And up until like at some point in 2021, that's what I did until I came across that. And I have since stopped.
That was taught well after, as you said, the typewriter era, because you would hear phrases like, you know, you need to format this way. You need to do double spacing. And I know that's double spacing was about vertical spacing, but you'd hear rules like that on papers in college. And the first time that I heard the two space bar thing was when Microsoft started correcting it, suggesting corrections, I guess, for it, because it was like, we're not even letting people do this anymore. This has gone too far. And I was like, oh, I didn't even know you weren't supposed to do it. So I think I've only stopped in the last year was when I heard about it. Like you, Kendall, it's made its rounds on the internet and we're all being corrected.
Yeah.
Well, if you guys are just finding out like relatively recently, I'm sure we're freeing a lot of people as well.
And maybe. So I want to hear from an English teacher to find out what they're teaching the kids these days.
That's a great, we should follow up on that. So anyway, you're free. Save yourself a space. Oh man, that was funny. go ahead, Kendall.
I just wanted to lament something. I have all these gaming things that go on now because it's been a very long time. And on Nintendo Switch, I've recently began playing Star Wars Jedi Academy 2, which is an old game reincarnated into the Switch. And something that I did not know is that when that game was originally released, which was like a long time ago, the having automatic checkpoints and that kind of thing throughout the campaign weren't really much of a thing. What was a thing was manually saving like all the time and then deleting files all the time. And that's how this game is built. And I didn't know that. And so like I started playing this game, and on the very first mission, there was one checkpoint that was like 2 minutes into the campaign. But then like I'm like going like 5, 10, 20 times the work of what it took to get to that first checkpoint, inevitably dying and just being so upset that it kept bringing me back to this same checkpoint. I'm like, what do I have to do? So after like literally weeks, I go back. Now I'm not playing like 8 hours a day, but it still was weeks. I went online and I'm like, are there secret hidden checkpoints that I need to find? Is that what's going on here? And that's when I found out that like other people had that problem. And then other people were like, you guys are idiots. You go into the pause menu and you go over to click save, and then you do things that way, and you can do it whenever you want to. So I felt like a total noob. I felt my ego got knocked down a couple steps, and I've since been doing great and on Jedi Academy too. So
I was waiting for you to show your age and say you went to Target and Walmart looking for the game guide so that so that you could figure out how to get that point. And I read the whole book while I was in the aisle and then put it back.
Yeah. But you knew where to go for help. You reached out to the interwebs and people helped you. That's the lesson.
Yeah. Thanks,
that's great. Speaking of noobs in gaming, my kids have been asking to play Warzone, and I'm like, it's pretty advanced and it's pretty challenging. And like my 7-year-old Case, he can't read. I mean, he can read, but there's just a lot of stuff on your heads up display that you need to be wary of. And I just think it's also high anxiety. And I was like, that doesn't seem like the best way to start. So they decided to re-download Fortnite. I had tried it once before, and that's when I had deduced for myself, like, I cannot play a first-person shooter and build myself a fort while I'm being shot at. I don't know how they're doing it, which is why I said this is one of the first indications that I just can't hang with the younger kids these days in the gaming world. Anyway, so they re-download Fortnite and they start playing. The next day, my son got a victory royale and got first place in a match. I was so proud of him, man. It was awesome.
A seven-year-old
on his second day of playing Fortnite. So I share it to the Dad Gaming Facebook page, which is a wonderful group of guys for the most part and are very funny and encouraging. And there's funny memes that take you back to your days of gaming in the early 90s. And all of these comments are like, good game. Congratulations, little guy. And then one commenter is like, bot lobby, which means they're just throwing in mostly NPC bots and the occasional also noob player into a lobby of 100 people. And I was like, come on, man. Who cares? Just let the little guy have his win.
Well, now you know how Sherry felt when you corrected Chivalrous.
There you go. But he did say not to take away from his win. But yeah, they do try to pair noobs with other noobs. So that, because interestingly, Epic Games has found out that the stickiness of a gamer to the game Fortnite is much greater if they have a win early on. And so they pair you based on your skill level, not based on all players in the world. And so I thought that was interesting that's how they do it. But so they're trying to hook them early. But I was pretty excited for them. One of the characters you can be now, one of the skins, is Spider-Man. And so it was down to him and one final player, and they were on a beach. And Spider-Man was hiding behind a massive boulder on the beach. But Case saw his little leg sticking out from behind the rock.
Yeah.
And Spider-Man was facing the other way. So Case just ran up on him and basically took out his leg and won.
Yeah.
That was pretty awesome. That's awesome.
Very nice.
Yep. Pretty exciting. Good times. Well, anything we want to talk about? We're streaming. This has become sort of our regular segment at the end of our episode. New things that we've streamed, watched, gamed the past week. So anything we want to share? Surprised we haven't talked about the Book of Boba Fett yet.
Oh yeah. See, I didn't watch last week's, but I've otherwise had been watching it. I haven't watched a whole lot. The reason why I'm interjecting to go first is because you guys always have far better answers than I do. Because mine is, I've been catching up on WWE. I had to go back to before Christmas.
Yes.
And I just watched the Miracle on 34th Street fight episode. So that was fun. I got to see you guys there's no good way to say it. Rammed with a Christmas tree. And then I was going to say nailed with a Christmas tree. I don't know.
Railed with a Christmas tree. is this like the Thanksgiving in the match with all the food? It's just like the Christmas.
Oh yeah. Party. Yeah.
Yeah.
Every holiday they've got one of those things. So I can't wait to see what they do for Memorial Day.
Well, I'm always happy to talk Marvel and Star Wars. I feel like I can keep it brief in the sense that it feels like this is such a big event now. It's okay to just like wait till the end and then kind of discuss it a little bit longer because it is a big deal for Star Wars fans. It's a big deal. I think it's a ton of fun. There's maybe been one moment or one thing in the first few episodes that I went, but everything else it's been so good.
Can I guess what it was without spoiling?
Sure.
Is it the chase in episode 3?
It wasn't the chase in and of itself.
The vehicles for
the chasers, not the chasee, because it just felt a little out of place.
Yes.
And I think it's okay to say there's, it reminds me of like 1950s classic car, like diner.
Yes.
Something about it. And there's these like speeder bikes that look like shiny sparkle 1950s diner classic car speeder version bikes that just felt like, I get that you're trying to do something different. That's fine. But it was the only thing. Color is not out of place in the show, but sparkly, shiny, chromey, vibrant-y color is very different. And so they felt a little out of place, but that's literally me being like super nitpicky, because in a whole galaxy, there's allowed to be stuff that's shiny. So it just felt odd on Tatooine because it's such a dust. It wasn't, and maybe that's what I should say. The shiny speeder bikes on like the core planet. I'm blanking on the name right now for
Tatooine?
Coruscant. On like Coruscant.
Oh, yeah.
In an appropriate setting, probably would have felt fine. It's because Tatooine is so dusty, dirty, gray and brown scale that it just felt odd. It felt a little out of place. But other than that, I think
They're being driven by out of place characters, right?
I mean, not necessarily.
Kind of like an outcast-ish kind of.
Yeah, that part's true.
Kind of anarchy kind of feel.
Yeah, I guess. And everyone's got their things like, you know, some of the aliens would have felt really childish even in the original series, or somebody doesn't like Jar Jar, or somebody doesn't like there. It's okay to have a massively diverse universe. It's also okay for me to just look at something and go, I just didn't care for that.
Yeah.
And that was just kind of the moment. For me, it was one of those like, I just didn't need to see 1950s chrome sparkle paint and chrome on speeder bikes, but it's fine. Let's put it that way.
There were some bad episodes in the two seasons of Mandalorian too, but I'm extra sensitive to this one because it's my favorite character. And the first two chapters were so good, I think. So interesting. Things we've wondered about for decades of what happened in the Sarlacc pit. Things were finally answered. Very cool. But you're being kinder than I was about the chase, because it wasn't just the characters and the gang and the speeders. It was the chase itself and how it was shot and the stunts and the very obvious it running into a little storefront thing and fruit flying everywhere. And the kids even were like, this is really weird. It just feels very slow, like that the vehicles were actually moving very, very slow. It just, the whole thing was just, I was like, come on. It's worth YouTubing for all of our listeners. Go to YouTube and type in the Book of Boba Fett featuring the Power Rangers. And they merge, because the speeder bikes are so shiny and primary colors, they merge the scene with the intro song or the theme music for Power Rangers, and then splice in the introductions of the corresponding colored Rangers to the speeder bikes, because the internet is having a heyday with it. It was very bad and did not fit on Tatooine. But anyway,
I think the CG work was not quite up to their normal standard and that scene. I genuinely hope this is one of those things that they go back and touch up a little bit after the fact, like they did. What was it, the Mandalorian, that they caught some guy in the very back, like a white t-shirt sleeve was sticking out in a hallway in like the background. They went in and touched it up after. Like, I'm fine with that. If they might want to go back and touch up a little bit, some aspects of the scene,
like a Starbucks on the set of Game of Thrones. Yeah.
yeah. I think they could go back and touch that up a little bit, but overall, I think the show is great. And, because of the nature of Boba Fett being a unaltered clone of Jango Fett, but all the clones in theory would look just like Boba Fett, Tamara Morrison, the actor, has even said he's willing to play the other clones that would still be alive at this point, to be at act in those roles as well. So like Captain Rex would be an example, if you followed the animated series, is a clone that would still be alive. And I'm like, I freaking love it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we're a little extra Tamira Morrison on top of it after the Boba Fett series.
We're picking on the literal most glaring negative thing, but overall the series has been very, very good. I love the world building around the Tuskens. Very cool about their sort of like history, and there's some very cool stuff with that. So anyway, great series so far. We enjoy it as a family every Wednesday night over dinner, and it has become a little ritual that we look forward to. What else are we watching?
I think I've also talked about this one before. It's worth especially mentioning now because season 3 of Afterlife with Ricky Gervais just premiered on Netflix. And Ricky Afterlife and Derek on Netflix probably go together, not in the sense that they're a continuation of story or anything like that, but they're two shows done by Ricky Gervais that are different shows, but the overall feel is the same. Sometimes extremely gross or crass. Unapologetically Ricky Gervais, but also some of the sweetest, most thoughtful, most thought-provoking moments that have come up in kind of casual TV that I've ever seen. So if you want to watch Derek or Afterlife, again, totally different premises, but they're both going to have moments that are very crass to moments that are very funny to moments that are very sweet, all within minutes. Ricky Gervais has done both, and both are incredibly well done. And you can now stream the entirety of both shows on Netflix. So Afterlife, very simple premise. Ricky Gervais works at a local newspaper. He's lost his wife and he's going through the stages of grief really across three seasons of the show. And super, just really well done. I told somebody to watch him and I said, don't rush through Derek or Afterlife. There's a lot of wit and wisdom. Certainly stuff not for children, but really, really thoughtful, sweet, funny shows. It was nice to finish that season. I feel like we waited 2 or 3 years in between seasons 2 and 3, but it was nice to finish out that show, and I definitely recommend it.
I thoroughly enjoyed Derek, and with Afterlife, I saw that season 3 was dropping, and so I went back and confirmed I completely missed season 2. So I had watched season 1, I had missed season 2. So that was great because I was like, cool, I'll get a nice on-ramp season 3. And speaking of sweet shows, there's some discussion going on our Facebook group From the Middle for the Middlers that we mentioned earlier, that Sherry, one of our loyal Middlers, is having an emotional reaction to my most recent favorite series, Love on the Spectrum, and said, thanks a lot. Like, I haven't cried enough this week. So it's just such a sweet and innocent and beautiful show. And again, I'm becoming increasingly nauseated by shows like The Bachelor and The Bachelorette and these like Love Island, just like super trashy young people just wanting exposure on social media shows where they just, it's just like dating and hooking up culture on full display and all of its ugliness on a show. So to see something that is so the antithesis of that and so authentic and rich is very good. And I'm not going to stop trying to get one of the doctor that does the consulting with the folks on the show on the podcast, because I think she'd be a great guest. So anyway, watched a couple good movies. Can't remember any of them right now, but
I watched The Eternals.
So and thoughts? I'm hearing interesting things.
It has huge implications.
That is a great way to end it, man. Well, thanks for listening this week, you guys. It's been fun. It's always fun catching up with these two guys and sharing those conversations with you. We hope that you feel like you were a part of them. Do support Artious Man by buying yourself some amazing men's grooming products and using promo code THEMIDDLE at checkout to get 25% off of your first order, which is almost a fourth. And we really appreciate your listenership. It's always fun hanging out. Comment below. Check out the Midbits videos, the little vlogs that we do. And yeah, the comments.
Doo-doo.
Yeah, I know. Couldn't resist a good poop joke. Do comment. It helps the algorithms, and share with a friend that you enjoyed this week's episode. If you did, and if you didn't, well, waste an hour of their life. Have a great week, and we'll see you next Wednesday. Episodes drop before you wake up. What was that stuff, Dylan? Fig paste or fig, what? Fig.
What did I say? Fig.
Hold on, I'll look it up because it's on their site.
Yeah, probably it. That was the only weird, really, of the, that was the weirdest of the things that I ate off of it.
Oh, I just saw it on their site.
Fig schmear? Paste.
Fig schmear?
Fig schmear. Yeah, you could use that.
Oh, man. Okay. Okay.
Oh.
I can't stop laughing about fig schmear. Okay.